Our scripture reading for today is the lectionary gospel passage. I'm reading to you from the gospel according to Luke chapter 6, verses 17 to 26. Listen for the word of God to you. He, Jesus, came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all of Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." May God bless this reading of his holy word to us today. Please be seated. I invite you to pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the things that is so true is that there is, in my experience, no typical hospital visit. When I enter someone's room in the hospital, I never really know what I'm going to find. I know maybe some details about the reason for their stay, but that's probably all that I know to expect. There's a lot that I don't know. And I won't know whether or not there needs to be time of talking, time of silence. What I just try to do is be in the present moment and lean on God's stirrings, right? I remember visiting a member of our congregation years ago now, and immediately when I got into the room, she burst out with, "Well, the doctor was here about a half hour ago and gave me some devastating news." Now, this was a person that never stood on ceremony. Didn't matter whether the issue was great or small. And so I just sat there and listened while she talked about how she was trying to wrap her mind around this new information. And yes, it was about as challenging as it gets. And so I sat there by her bedside, and I remember, you know, the air in the room feeling pretty heavy. And all of a sudden she said, "Now don't think that I'm crazy." Okay. And she said, "Look at that wall right in front of my bed. And you see that kind of that hose hanging down, and you see the edge of the whiteboard, and do you notice a couple of shadows and that sort of dip that is also a shadow?" And I turned and I nodded, "Yeah, I see that." And she said, "You know what I see when I look at that?" I didn't know what she was going to say. She said, "I see the outline of Jesus looking at me." Oh, I know what is actually there. But somehow I have the sense that Jesus is seeing me. Now, this is a person who I knew had all of her wits about her. And so I looked again with fresh eyes, and no, it wasn't really super clear, but I did get a sense of what she was talking about. Now, she went on and she said, "You know, knowing that Jesus is looking at me, it's somehow comforting. I feel like now I can get through this. I hope you know what I'm saying." And I did say to her, "Yes, yes, I get it." Now, it's not like what we were looking at was some kind of miraculous vision, okay? It's not like it was something that, oh, would put Overlook Hospital on the map and people would come from world over on pilgrimages. It was a different type of sacred and beautiful miracle. It was the miracle of finding healing. It was the miracle of finding what it is like to have your pain and your suffering really seen and really known and really paid attention to. And aren't each and every one of us incredibly blessed when we find that happens to us? It's a beautiful and a transformative experience. And aren't we incredibly blessed when we witness it happening to someone else as well? And we see how it's a beautiful, transformative experience for them. So let's be aware of what Jesus sees in our passage for this morning. And not only what he sees, but who he sees and how he sees. And I would like for you to notice right off the bat that we have a distinctly different version of the Beatitudes than we're used to hearing. I mean, we're used to hearing the Beatitudes as they come to us in the Gospel of Matthew. And there, they are part of the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus is standing at a high place and looking out over the crowd. But here, notice what is so different. What is so different in Luke is that Jesus is clearly said to be standing on a level place. Hold on to that thought for a moment. And not only is that the difference, but we have a little bit of a difference in the way that his words are shared. In Matthew, Jesus is said to have said, "Blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those." You notice in Luke, it's a little different. "Blessed are you who..." We have the story of people who are just so desperate, and they're pressing in on him, and they're close by him. And we have the sense of this personal, intimate, eye-to-eye encounter. Now, what are we to make of these two different versions? Is it a case of where Jesus said similar words in two different locations? Perhaps. Nobody knows. We don't know. But that clearly isn't truly the point. We get the picture here in Luke, and this is what the gospel writer wants us to see, of Jesus being right there with people's faces. You know, it's sort of like when you see an adult talking to a child, and they're not talking to the child from just standing up. They're getting down on the child's level, looking at them eye to eye. So Jesus is saying, eye to eye, blessed are you. I have come for you. I am right here, right now, taking in your suffering. You who are poor, you who hunger, you who are disturbed by illness or forces that just feel out of your control. And more than that, I am here to show you that you are worthy, worthy of being cared for. Jesus is saying, I have come to you in your desperation. And that is the good news. That is cause for rejoicing. That is how Jesus saw. And no doubt about it, not only are we seen in our suffering and in our pain, but he asks us to see in the same way too. And he asks us to be on level ground and see with his eyes as we look out at others who, in their suffering, are worthy of being cared for. Seeing in this way means that there are no masses and multitudes. There's not the sense that people are statistics. The human face is what is seen instead. That human face and that human face and that human face. And we let those human faces draw us in, and it draws us into a new sense of their blessedness. And we live our lives not divorced from reality to such an extent that we find ourselves shielded and protected and isolated. We open ourselves up to being formed by what we see. We find ourselves more and more willing then to be a blessing, the blessing that God wants us to be, as we open up more and more, using what we see in some way, shape, or form for easing another's pain. So a couple of Christmases ago now, Trevor gave me a book. It was a cookbook. You go to a bookstore and you see hundreds of cookbooks on the shelf, right? And this cookbook might have seemed to blend in with all the others out there, but on second glance, the title of the book was Soup for Syria. This book was produced as a fundraiser for Syrians who have been displaced due to the war there. And what was so brilliant about this beautiful book is not only, you know, the pictures of these wonderful recipes, hot steaming soup that you just want to make, but I tend to look at the pages and sort of do that virtually, you know. Anyway, someday, maybe. But accompanying those recipes were pictures of people, real Syrians, individuals, close-up shots. Now, you would think that these pictures would be of all sad faces or hungry faces or you know, desperate faces, but clearly somebody was thinking, because it's a mixture of faces, children and teens and adults, some of them are actually laughing. Some of them are pensive faces. Some of them are quite sad faces. Some of them are dirty faces, But with big smiles, a whole range of human emotion is there. So you see the sadness, you know, you see the concern, but you also see this mixture of what it means to be human and to live with reality as it is dealt to you. Now, knowing the extent of need out there can just feel overwhelming, right? Feels so overwhelming, but the point isn't being overwhelmed by what we feel is impossible to do in the way of helping others. The point is not to turn aside, but to ask faithfully and continually and unendingly, how am I in my situation, in my circumstances in life, responding to the real ability I have to see with the eyes of Jesus? To turn away is to turn away from God's desire and vision for the world. It is to turn away from real need that needs to be met. That's the bottom line. That's the simple, enduring, unshakable bottom line. Here's a thought I think is so helpful for us to keep in mind. It actually comes from Richard Rohr. I've mentioned Richard Rohr before. He's a Franciscan priest. He writes. He has a school in New Mexico. He is into contemplation and action. And Richard Rohr can put things so succinctly and so memorably. And he has said this. We need to look at Jesus until we can see the world with his eyes. We need to look at Jesus until we can see the world with his eyes. And isn't that what we're about here? Week after week after week, learning how to do that. And we need to do that within community because we need the support and the encouragement of one another. And we need for ways to help keep hope alive. And think with me about the danger of that essential part of the equation, looking at Jesus in order to see with his eyes. I mean, if we don't look at Jesus first, then we run a huge risk of looking out at the world through American eyes, through eyes that are filled with our own beliefs and ideas and values that may or may not be right on target. Or maybe ideas and opinions that we were raised with and we just never even questioned the validity of them. Or maybe we look through our own life experience, private life experience, or our own woundedness and our own hurts, and all of those filters are just there if we don't first look at Jesus and then seek to look at the world through his eyes, right? Remember what we just prayed in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We know what that will is. We know what that will is. One of the things I've never enjoyed is huge crowds of people. I get very anxious. Huge crowds of people. Sports stadium, Penn Station. I just don't like huge crowds of people. Especially what I hate is when you're like in Penn Station and all these people at a very busy time of day, they're just being funneled into one narrow escalator, and God forbid that escalator is going down. I hate that with a passion. I'd almost rather have a root canal, to be honest. And I've had those. But you know, I've tried this spiritual practice, if you want to call it that. And it's a way of trying not to be overwhelmed by that crowd when I'm in those situations, and to experience the experience in that Humans of New York way. Now, if you know about Humans of New York, you know it's a project that you, and you can find this online, you can find books, Humans of New York, project of someone taking photographs of individuals or even of couples, and then accompanying the photograph is just them speaking about their lives, their stories, what has meaning for them, what hasn't meaning for them, their struggles, etc. So what I try to do in those awful situations when there are just people all around me is try to think about who the individuals may be. I try to think about their faces and the stories writ large on their faces. I try to remember that each individual is a story of struggle, of joy, hopes and dreams, disappointments, needs, vulnerabilities, being cared for, not being cared for, having loving parents, having no parents at all. Stories of regrets and pain, and stories of celebration and contributions. Complicated, rich stories that are sunk deep within their hearts. And when I do this hard work, and it is hard work, all of a sudden I'm not quite as anxious, and I feel the gift of being in the midst of real life. And I let that gift speak to me in the way it needs to speak to me, softening my heart, giving me more and more of a sensitivity of what God wants for this world and how I can be part of that dream. I want to try it on for size. Looking first at Jesus, and then seeing the world through Jesus' eyes. Amen. Oh God, you inspire us in a variety of ways each and every day. And help us truly focus on others in such a way that we are the blessing we need to be to them. Because we are looking through Jesus' eyes. We are knowing the pain and the suffering and the hurt and the longing and all that big mixture that really is expressed deeply only to you. But we can have a glimpse of it. May we be your servants. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.